to Kyla, who's our first speaker.
Thank you. My name is Kyla, I'm an addict.
Hey, Kyla.
And I hate microphones. I always think that I have to sing. I'm really feared up now. I thought I was okay outside, but it's quite daunting and scary to do a chair here. I've done one before, and I remember that I was, I got to tell my story at when I was about 12 years old, and then I ran out of time. So hopefully today I'm going to give you part two, you know, so wish me luck. And Lucy just gave me a lucky tea bag, so I know I'll be fine. Right. I always feel that I have to tell something about my using, but I'll try to keep it really brief. I started using really early. I was 11. I started drinking. It was my first drug. Progressed really quickly for me. Because I thought it would be cool. I thought I was cool. And when I was 12, I was smoking heroin. Even before I started smoking fags, I was smoking heroin. It was okay for a while. Well, it was a secret. My mom didn't know anything. Anyone didn't know anything. Just sort of my friends that used to do that heroin with me, they knew about it. I never thought like any of it. I thought I was just doing something that all the people that I hang out with were doing. And I remember when I was about 14, I had my first rattle, and I thought I had the flu, you know. And the thing was, the days that I didn't have heroin, I rattled it off and I didn't complain. And someone then told me that I was rattling of heroin, and that was it for me. So I knew the solution for my when I was feeling sick. I knew that that would make me feel okay, you know. And to be honest with you, I've lost. I really don't know why I'm an addict, you know. I just like to take drugs. I really do. But I take drugs. I don't take them socially. I can't do it socially. I'm very destructive on drugs. I go over the top. And I can't stop when I start taking them, you know. And I tend to substitute one for the other. I always have to have something, you know. And I remember my first drug was alcohol, and was my last drug was alcohol in a script. And I sort of dabbled in, on everything along the way. I used for about 24 years, because now I count my script, my methadone script, as using. I never used to. I thought that I was just medicated, and it was, for me, it was the cleanest that you can get. It's being on a script and not to having sell yourself and steal the drugs. So I was fine with that. But the methadone wasn't enough for me. So I used to drink quite a lot with it as well, you know. And I remember when I was introduced to NA, maybe 12 years ago, I've done a detox for alcohol, and I was just for alcohol. They kept me on a script, but they detoxed me from alcohol back in Portugal, and I started doing NA, and I always had loads of stuff to say when I was in meetings, and so just to show them people how bad I was and how rough it was for me, and all of that, And I never been able to pick up a keyring, a clean, you know, clean time keyring. And I used to tell them, why can't I pick up a keyring? Because you're on a script, you're not abstinence. And I got a resentment, and I turned my back. Of course I did, because I didn't want to hear. I wasn't ready to hear. So I was, you know, I didn't know that running the corner was, for me, was waiting still about 9 years of rock bottom, really, because I remember when I was 19 and I was living on the streets and eating from bins and selling myself for drugs. My idea then was there was no solution, that I was born to, you know, I was born to die like that, you know. I was just something that I accepted. And I made the most of it. I didn't know there was a way out. You know, I didn't know anyone that got clean. We didn't even think about it. I didn't know anyone that went to rehab and come back. You know, because you just stop seeing people, because people who went to rehab and they are clean, they don't hang out with you anymore, you know. So you don't see them, and they just go out of your head. You don't remember them, you know. It's like never existed for you. And because for me it was like that. I never had connections with people. I never got, like, you know, friendships with people. There was always associates. And, you know, and take advantage of each other. That's what we used to do, you know. It's quite rough and lonely there, you know. So in 2008, I went to detox. And I had 28 days detox in a place that doesn't exist anymore, sadly. It's one of them places that was closed down. And when I went there, I knew I had enough. But I was a bit dubious about how I'm going to keep like that. How am I going to stay clean? I don't have a clue. So I went there, and then they start doing, they always done NA meetings there, NA and other fellowships. And I used to go just to see the blokes, you know, because you're stuck in a detox with always the same people. You want to see new people and the blokes. And you're detoxing anyways. Anyone is fit, you know, when you're detoxing, you know. And I used to go to the meetings and, you know, I was in a, like, big denial, because I remember someone that took the meeting there said to me, "So, Carla, are you going to go to meetings when you leave here?" "I don't need meetings, you know. I don't have a drug problem." "So can I remind you of where you are now? You are in a detox unit. Hello." And I sort of, you know, I got embarrassed, yeah, okay. So what happened was, I stayed, and I've done all the meetings there. And I never used to talk. Just by the end, when I was leaving detox, I opened my mouth, because I was, you know, I was a bit fearful. I was, what's going to happen when I live here, you know? Because I'm not in a bubble anymore. And they told me to go to a certain meeting on a Monday. You know, when I leave detox, they will be there waiting for me, and they will save a chair for me there. And so I got out, and by some magical coincidence, a mate now, a guy from Portugal, got in touch with me through my drugs worker to take me to a meeting, my first meeting outside detox. And it was quite interesting, because there's no coincidence like that. I think that was the first time I had some contact with some sort of God or higher power, was in that moment that that person that took me to my first meeting, we got talking, and we are from the same, exactly from the same place. We hang out with the same people, we went to the same gigs, and we don't remember each other. You know, and that was my first, you know, wow, you know. I was a bit taken away by that. The thing is, I thought this might, I thought of giving it a good go, because I've tried everything before that was possible. I tried substitute one for the other. I tried to stop, like cold turkey. I tried to stop with medication. I tried, you know, all different things, like moving away and all that, and never worked out for me. I always kept on using. I wouldn't even last a week. I remember moving from one place to the other, just 2 hours of moving, I will find the next dealer, because you can spot them, you know, and that's how it was for me. And I came here to England on a geographical as well, if I really think about it. I came here looking for a better life. You know, and looking for something. I was always on a search. I was always seeking for something, you know, and yeah, thank you. I didn't even speak about, I am speaking about recovery. Wait a minute, yeah. You know, And it was like that, you know, always running away, always seeking for something. And I think that the last 10 years of my using was like looking for a way out. And so I you know, I came to NA and I start talking to people. I like people, you know, most of the days. I like people. You know, I start, you know, building some friendships and some connections with people here. I have the Portuguese Massive crew. They helped me a lot when I didn't have a sponsor. They were there for me, you know, and they didn't want anything in return. They were there for me. But then I found a sponsor, the sponsor that I wanted. I waited, sort of like a vulture. You know, I'll wait when you're ready, I'll pounce on you. And I did. And so she's my sponsor now. So that, and, you know, and we worked the steps formally through the step working guides. And if I to be honest with you, the first and only time I worked the steps formally, for me was like a book bashing. It was like I was bashing myself. For me, it was I took those steps as a punishing tool for myself because I was so bad and I was so wrong and I was done such horrible things, you know. I never focused on the side of how loving it can be, you know. And that understanding just came way later, I'm telling you. And I remember my step 10, the one I have more memory of it, was I was doing it by the leaflets. And I didn't want to do it. I was constantly, I don't want to do this. I felt like crying every time I had to pick up, because my attitude was the wrong attitude when I picked up that leaflet. It was to punish myself. And I was focusing on the things that I'm not doing and the things that I'm doing wrong and all of that stuff. And I found my sponsor. I was going to say her name, breaking her anonymity, Sally. And she asked me to mention her. And, you know, and she said to me, Carla, that's not about what you've done wrong or what you're doing wrong. It's about, you know, give yourself a break and see the things that you are doing right, you know, and that's a lot. And sort of my attitude changed a little bit and my understanding started changing. I had to get to step 10, though. You know, so the previous one, you can imagine, there was a fight with, you know, an internal fight with myself about that, you know. But that was the most loving thing I've done for myself, because came forgiveness, a little bit of, you know, compassion for myself and other people as well, you know, and a bit of understanding where other people come from. Because even though I went through the same, I tend to judge other people, you know. And I still tend to judge other people. I like to judge other people. I just try not to. But doesn't mean it works all the time. Because I know people judge me as well. You know, it's just, I think it's just what human beings do, really. You know, we just judge each other. You know, and it's quite cool. Don't judge me. Okay, I think I ran out of time now. I have 1 minute. Yay! Yes, my suggestion is, you know, I didn't want to work the steps when I came round. I was scared. I thought that I didn't need them because I'm special and different. I'm better than all of you, so I don't need the steps. I will cherry pick the program that I want, the bits that I like. I always done loads of service, you know, and people here know me anyways. They see me in meetings, they know, you know. I'm constantly involved with this. My best friends and all my friends are in here. So if I really want to see them, I have to come here. There's no way out, you know. And I sort of went back to college, got a qualification, started doing volunteer, and I got a job in the end of it, you know. And I love my job. I love what I do. And what I do is supporting other people who didn't find a way out yet, you know. And, you know, and my life is, you know what, was really hard work before. My life is quite okay. I go to bed and I can sleep. I have a bit of peace of mind. I have, like, that serenity most of the times, you know. Unless there's too hot and there's two cats that don't let me sleep, I'm pretty much okay, you know. I do sleep. Yeah, and with that, you know, get a sponsor, work the steps, do service, and keep coming back. Thank you.